Hey everybody, this is Robert Spiewak, one of the hosts of the Nifty Podcast, former festival manager for Nifty, and the executive producer of Party Fish Media. I just wanted to make a note at the beginning of this episode of the Nifty Podcast that while recording this interview with Sam Wickert about his project Video Game Vehicle, Kelly, and mostly me, had pretty much every technical difficulty we could have possibly had. So there is some lower quality audio in this episode, and hopefully we've done everything we could to make it sound as good as possible. We hope you still listen. It's still a very good interview with Sam about his project and about 360 space and VR in general, so we hope you stick around and listen. And yeah, everybody, just wanted to give you a heads up that that is why this episode doesn't sound quite as good as all the rest. So we hope you enjoy still, everybody. Here's this week's episode of the Nifty Podcast.
Welcome to the Nifty Podcast, presented by Party Fish Media, a showcase of the best emerging filmmakers under the age of 25 from all around the world. Film starts here at Nifty 2018, presented by Oculus from Seattle, Washington.
This is Kelly Campiglia. I was a program coordinator for Nifty X this past year, and Nifty X is the 360 VR installation of the Nifty Festival. Today we have Sam Wickert here with us, who was one of the creators of Video Game Vehicle, which is a 3D 360 mix short film. So excited to talk to him. Welcome, Sam.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Yeah. All right, great. So your film is amazing. I mean, I can't say enough good things about it. It's already available online. So for anyone, we'll provide the links at the end and all that. But I can't say enough good things about Video Game Vehicle. This film, again, was part of Nifty X, so it's an actual VR film that you can watch in a headset. You can also watch it on YouTube and, you know, use the kind of mouse to spin around. Though it's as all things VR, it's better in the headset. But it was truly a technical achievement, and anyone who was around for that festival, I knew a lot of people who were professionals in the VR world who were very inspired and impressed by Video Game Vehicle. So congratulations, and for all our listeners, definitely go check it out.
Yeah, I really appreciate the kind words here. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
I definitely mean them. I love it so much, and I love rewatching it in preparation for this. So I want to get into Video Game Vehicle and all the amazing things about it. But I also think a lot of our listeners, they're not as familiar with VR and 360, and I think they would find it really interesting to know about your background, where you came from, and how you got into VR in general, because I know that you're not actually someone who started off in all of that. And so it's just nice to hear that. I mean, you do have a lot of relation to the traditional film world. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, your background, and how you got into all of it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I definitely do stem from a 2D background. I stem from a technical background in visual effects and filmmaking. So me and my partner, Eric, created a YouTube channel, and that was really my segue into film, was through YouTube. We created a YouTube channel specializing in visual effects shorts, and we ended up growing quite a following. And from that following, mainly due to one of our hit series called Chalk Warfare, which is a series where different teams, opposing teams, jump in and draw weapons with chalk, kind of a battle royale. And that was one of the top series for us, and kind of grew a following for us and allowed us to continue to iterate and make fun videos. And we also then leveraged it as our full-time positions now, doing different advertisement on the channel and whatnot. But it was from that background, using visual effects in our videos and just my love for visual effects, that kind of segued into the virtual reality boom in around 2014, 2015, when the Oculus Rift was announced. And we created quite a few different virtual reality 360 films per se. And it was then that in 2016, we set out to make a really fun project called Channel Surfer, which was the minimal viable product for a video that we wanted to create and ended up did creating, called Internet Surfer, which was a stereoscopic 360 film we created. But Channel Surfer was the first edition of that video where a character gets sucked into a TV and gets to travel through various channels. We wanted to try to figure out a storyline for VR that would be entertaining, not just something that was a tech demo, because that's what we saw a lot of, was just tech demos. So we created this video called Channel Surfer, and we ended up really enjoying it. We got a good response on YouTube, because that was our background, creating videos on YouTube. And we decided then to take it to a USC festival. Now, I was a student at Chapman at the time, but we ended up taking this film to this USC festival, and I ended up meeting an individual that works at a company now called Madison Wells Media, and his name was Brandon Padveen, and we ended up then creating the video that we wanted to create called Internet Surfer. And Internet Surfer was the same concept where a character then gets sucked into a computer and travels through various YouTube creator platforms. We leveraged this video that we created, Channel Surfer, in order to create Internet Surfer, show it to our friends and our contacts on YouTube to be able to create this film. Long story short, we ended up creating that alongside Madison Wells Media, and we created the film in stereoscopic VR with spatial audio. And the film actually ended up playing at Google I.O. in 2017, which then led to us pitching to Google, and we created three virtual reality films. And Video Game Vehicle was one of those films.
Wow, that's quite the road. I mean, you definitely have, as I noticed stalking you guys on YouTube, you really have, as you mentioned, a huge background in VFX. And I mean, it was actually kind of cute to go back and watch some of like your original films.
Yeah, it is kind of funny.
So young. I mean,
yeah, it's like a time machine. It's really odd doing that, because it seems like we represent a generation now, not necessarily represents, but we're a part of a generation that grew up on YouTube per se. So we were creating videos when we were so young that now we've seen ourselves age, which is really odd. but it also just shows the growth of, you know, filmmaking on the internet and on digital, because you can actually see kind of how you iterate, and you can actually see how we iterate through different videos. Like, for instance, we had Chalk Warfare as an idea that we wanted to make multiple years before we made the video. And if you follow some of the videos that happened before Chalk Warfare, you can start to see like, oh, they started tracking in different weapons and they started doing these different visual effects. And then we use that new knowledge to make that video finally. And you can kind of see that trajectory, you know, on YouTube, which is fun.
Well, I think it's super fun. Please never take those videos down, because, you know, to see something like Video Game Vehicle, I'm like medium tech savvy and I'm working on it. Like, I know a lot of people who would be, who are impressed by that, like I said, and people who are getting into VR, I mean, it's almost intimidating. Like, how do they even do that? You know? And a lot of people are still trying to figure out what they're doing. And you go back and look at you guys starting from the beginning, and you just put in so much work. And like you said, I mean, you see yourself starting to add things in and experiment in new ways. And I just think that's amazing to see. I mean, anyone listening to this and trying to understand that journey and get inspired by it, I mean, should go on your YouTube, because I loved it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it means a lot.
Yeah. And you guys, and I'll just, you know, plug for you right now that while we're on that topic, that you guys do a lot of tutorials and like kind of the making of stuff, which is really interesting to watch. And you'll even get down and dirty with some of the technical things in the 3D world.
Yeah, more so in the past. We had quite a bit of tutorials that you can check out. We try to do some making ofs and everything. There's actually a second channel that you'll, if you follow kind of the path of the YouTube channel, you'll end up getting directed to a second channel where you can watch a lot of that as well, which is really fun.
Yeah, I definitely like that. I don't know if you guys are going to do one for Video Game Vehicle, but I'd love to see it.
Yeah, no, we have so much footage from the 2018 slate of content that we did with Google Daydream that we're hoping to, you know, make a little BTS compilation. I think that could be really fun, just because there was so much fun stuff and fun challenges that we had to overcome. Like, one of the videos had 100 feet of motion control track. That was the longest that they have, that company had ever seen with motion control track. So we had to get these pipes manufactured and shipped out to the location that we shot at, and we just had it sitting there for multiple days because we couldn't move them.
That's crazy. So how do you handle, you know, you talked about going through this festival and then getting connections, and then pitching to Google. A lot of the challenges and kind of roadblocks with VR is a lot of the technical equipment. I mean, as is with traditional film as well. But you know, how have you been overcoming that? How do you connect with the people that have even stereoscopic cameras and all of that? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So to answer your first question, VR is almost, it's very much like 2D was, you know, multiple years back, where it was really difficult. 2D has gotten a lot easier to kind of get in. The barrier of entry is lower, which is great because it allows for people to create and iterate, and it just makes it all around better and makes better products. But with a VR, it's getting easier, but it's still pretty difficult. And the medium itself is just very difficult. And it was especially difficult around that time that we created Internet Server and Channel Server. And the funny thing is that I was struggling too, as well, to find a different, you know, tech to use. So I actually took it upon myself to getting a 3D printer, and I ended up printing out mounts to create the GoPro mounts that had six, that housed six GoPro cameras to end up stitching the footage together. And that was one of the first things that we, that was one of the first things that we used to help film Channel Surfer. And then we also figured out a method to use a 180 degree lens. And then stitch those together. It's very similar if you come from a visual effects background. It's very similar to HDRIs, which are basically just 360 images that reflect light back onto objects in CG. So we use those methods to create those 360 videos. And then the biggest hurdle was then, you know, okay, we can do this, but we need to jump to stereoscopic, because stereoscopic is really the bread and butter to live action virtual reality filmmaking. And that was the big hurdle for us. And it's all to credit the fine people at Madison Wells Media at the time. They hooked us up with the ability to get a camera and utilize that camera to shoot Internet Surfer.
Was that a Unihalo, or what was the camera?
So the camera we used for Internet Surfer was the Odyssey, the GoPro Odyssey. So it's 16 cameras, no top, no bottom, but 16 cameras around, and you can then stitch it in the cloud, which is very nice. And then you're effectively making, you know, a stereo product. So you're effectively making two videos per each video. That's what I like to say, because, you know, it's stereo. You're making a left eye and then a right eye. So you double the workload with all of the visual effects. And then not only that, you're working in kind of tool sets that are a little harder because it's not built like 2D. You have to actually work in the equirectangular maps, and that makes it rather difficult. But it's getting easier in Adobe After Effects, which is, you know, what I use and love. So it's getting easier in Adobe After Effects and in Premiere. So a lot of these companies are embracing it. So it's getting a lot easier, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, for people listening, I won't go in depth. Stereoscopic means basically that you can see depth. Ha, I used a pun there.
There you go.
Yeah. Like Sam was saying, I think of it as, you know, you have two eyes in order to see depth. And so you need to record kind of two different eyes, essentially. And so we'll leave it at that. Go Google it.
It leads to a lot of measurements on set. That's one of the biggest takeaways that we had. We were constantly having to measure how far things were, because if you're doing a trick, for instance, like a forced perspective trick, you also have to get the depth right in distance. It's not just size. So that's one of the biggest things that we played with Internet Surfer. Our buddy Zach King, who has an Instagram page, and he has a YouTube channel as well. We shot a little bit of Internet Surfer with him, and he's got these forced perspective gags. And that was one of the biggest takeaways, was with the depth, we had to actually measure out the different distances. And it was just an added element. And it was so weird, because in my Pelican cases, I was carrying around tape measures at all times when we were filming these 360 videos, because we just constantly had to be using these tape measures to get different data.
That's awesome. I love how much how open you guys are to playing around and basically figuring this stuff out, especially you had to with how you started, because nobody knew what they were doing. And, you know, when the consumer version headsets came out, and that's when you guys started on it basically right away. And like you were saying, for anyone interested in this type of work, Adobe and they acquired Metal. They're starting to get into this stuff, but props to you guys for getting into it before a lot of that was available.
So. Oh, no, absolutely. And I would love to just credit Adobe as well. Chris Bobotis over at who created Metal and then was acquired by Adobe. They're just making such great strides. And it's really incredible to see how far it's come, honestly, in just a few years. Back in 2015, I was creating stuff in Metal. No one had really found out about Metal, and I searched it up and found out. I ended up giving some talks over with Metal at NAB in those years as well, just because they were doing such great things. Ended up getting acquired by Adobe, and it's been incredible ever since.
So for you personally, having this VFX background, you know, how do you work? You work in game engines. We know this. And for anyone listening, I mean, just if you are going to do VR, you typically are going to be working with a game engine to create that 3D world, unless you're doing 100% 360 or in a case of like there are ways to technically get around it, but they haven't been like highly suggested. So how was that transition for you? I mean, have you had to get pretty familiar with game engines, or are you using other people to do that for you?
Yeah. So to answer that, I'm going to first also say that, you know, the basic gist of it is that you have the three different versions of virtual reality. You have the 360 videos, which we've made, then you have the stereoscopic videos, which we're talking about here with Video Game Vehicle and the Google projects, Internet Surfer, whatnot. And then you have 6 degrees of freedom, which are actually game engine pieces that you're able to walk around in. The 6 degrees of freedom, meaning you have a volume of space. Or those all have to run in a game engine because it's having to render real time in front of your headset. With the stereoscopic films and the 360 films, you're stuck on a nodal point. So the game engines unlock that ability to walk around in the volume. But game engines also prove a great visual effects tool for creating any of the content, including 2D content, down that pipeline. So you can create stuff in 6 degrees of freedom with game engines. You can create it and you can bake it down into that version of stereoscopic, and then you can also bake it into a 360, or you can even use it for your traditional 2D pipeline, just because the way visual effects and films are moving is visual effects need to be done, you know, faster and cheaper and better. So we're going to get to a point where they're going to be running real time in front of us on movie screens through game engines, most likely, just because that's the fastest possible way is real time. And these game engines are kind of seeming to be the point where games and film are going to meet together to create some really interesting visual effects advances. So we jumped into it, with open arms, because I just knew that it was something to embrace, and game engines are going to be huge. We use Unreal Engine over here, and it's proved to be a very great tool for every aspect in gaming and in virtual reality and in just 2D applications as well, for previs and anything.
And do you yourself do scripting in Unreal, or does somebody else do that? Did you teach yourself scripting?
Yes.
Do you use Java?
Yeah. So Unreal Engine is actually very fascinating because you can code in C++, you know, through Unreal Engine, or you can use their preset blueprint editors. So I have a little bit of a coding background, but not a huge background. So I actually end up using the blueprinting, which is node-based blueprinting, to be able to code different actions and event scripts, which has proven to be very beneficial, even with the little amount that I had to know going into it. And there is, of course, a learning curve jumping from any 3D program. My forte is 3ds Max, Autodesk 3ds Max, but jumping from that to Unreal Engine. But they're making the bridge easier and easier, you know, every iteration, every new update. There's actually tools now that kind of allow you to just, with a click of a button, be able to export scenes and bring it in. And we've done that for various projects with virtual camera movements. So we're actually able to use a virtual camera in Unreal Engine and then export the camera and bring it into a 3D scene. So then you can actually get, you know, realistic camera movements in an animation. And that's kind of some of the stuff that I was talking about earlier, where you can use virtual reality or game engines with 2D in very interesting ways.
I love it. And I love how excited you get about all of the new stuff coming out too.
Oh yeah. It's so
fun. Really is amazing, you know, what we're able to do now. And I love watching you guys figure that out before everyone else does. So cool. So I want to get into Video Game Vehicle, but really quick before we jump into that, I'm curious. So you mentioned, you know, that you come from this VFX background, that that just kind of seemed like a natural segue into VR. And that you guys, I mean, from watching your videos, I know you like to have a lot of fun. I mean, your videos are very fun. They're it's almost hard to explain. I'm going to try right here, but it's like this kind of mix of, it's like VR, video games, narrative, storytelling. You know, you guys are definitely creating your own box to live in. And it's really fun. It's really technically impressive. And so I'm wondering, you know, what has inspired you? Where do you want to go with VR? Is it to continue doing what you're doing and just kind of pushing the edges, figuring it out, and doing a lot of fun, you know, trickery with visual effects and practical effects in the mix? Or what else?
Yeah, so VR was more so a response of seeing where the film industry, or rather just the new medium, because I don't like to think of VR as a film industry advance. It's more so a new medium. And it was us jumping into it was just the challenge of getting to jump into it and try to fit our style and our format into it, because we felt that it was a good mixture. And we truly believe and we truly enjoy the products that we got to make. And we're excited to see where everything goes. But like anything, it existed as something for us to work on. And it proved to be something that worked well, because we were able to attach ourselves with a client like Google Daydream. And we were able to work with so many new and great people in the industry from the projects. And we're really excited to see where we go next with it, whether that be with the same virtual reality projects, or moving forward with more virtual reality, or even just utilizing the stuff that we learned through virtual reality into our 2D projects. It's all been a positive outcome. And that's kind of where we're heading next, is just making more projects and continuing to do the things we're doing, whether it be virtual reality or not. We don't really consider ourselves necessarily just virtual reality creators. It was more so the joy of getting to make something in a new and compelling medium.
I love that. I love that so much, especially because, you know, I think a lot of people keep VR that work in the film world are keeping VR and 360 at a distance right now. You know, like, I'm not the type that works in that. And you guys are showing, you know, you can work in all different types of worlds, and you can combine them, and you can learn from one and go back to another. So that's really great. Excellent. And so that brings me to the video of the hour, which is Video Game Vehicle. So to kind of describe this quickly, I mean, like I mentioned at the beginning of this, it's a 3D 360 video. You're kind of like moving with a car from a real world into a game world, and things occur from there. And so what they've done with Video Game Vehicle is this mix the virtual world and the real world, or so it appears. And so, Sam, why don't you, I don't know if you want to say a little bit more about the description, or just talk about your role on it, and tell us a little bit more about how you guys went about that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So Video Game Vehicle, I like to kind of describe it as like a mixture of Back to the Future-esque with video games. You know, it's Back to the Future with video games. And the two characters are me and my partner, Eric, and we're in the passenger seats of the vehicle. And the goal was to create an immersive piece of content where you travel at high speeds through different video game worlds with these characters. And you kind of get to witness their reactions, and then also have the autonomy to decide where you look during the entire video. And that shouldn't... of course, there's directive that still follows alongside that. We're directing the viewer's eye to tell them where to be looking, or at least, you know, hoping they look. But you have full autonomy then to see, you know, the passenger, see the driver, and then also see where you're going. And then, you know, mixing that through the different worlds, we felt like that was going to be a very fun concept to get to play with. So with the video, then my role was, of course, I directed, and I also did the visual effects supervision on the project.
Excellent. And you worked closely with Eric Lee, right? And so what was his role in the project?
So Eric has helped write through the entire process. We always bat off the ideas together, come up with the outlines. He'll typically be the one writing the outlines as we're doing that. And then he... mainly through our 2D content, has always been more so the face of the content. It's always usually been me filming. I'll jump in from time to time when I want to be in a project, but this project in particular, it was necessary for both of us to be in, just because we needed to have the duo, and we wanted to make it easy for us to continue to iterate on the process, just because when we dive into how we actually shot this project, it's going to be recognized that it took a lot of different iterations and fixing. We're heading in kind of to the unknown with the virtual reality, we're heading into kind of the unknown with virtual reality, and jumping into this project, we knew there was going to be a lot of challenges, and there's going to be need to be fixes on the video when we shot some of the footage. So we cast it ourselves to be able to easily jump back in and out of those car seats that we filmed in to place us into the virtual worlds.
Yeah, so let's talk about, I mean, you mentioned some of the challenges and jumping in the car seats. So it's called Video Game Vehicle. It is a lot of moving with a vehicle. One of the most impressive things to me is the amount of movement in this video. And I mean, you're literally moving with a car, which is not driving in a very safe way.
Yeah.
So, and on top of that, you have cuts, you have transitions, a lot of things that people would argue are not possible or make you sick. So how did you accomplish that so well? Because it didn't make me sick, and it didn't make others sick. And I would say I don't have high tolerance.
I agree as well, because I have a high tolerance for, or I'm highly susceptible to motion sickness. So it's really easy then for me when I'm watching the projects to see, you know, is this going to make me sick or make other people sick? Because if it makes me sick, I'm kind of the first one out of the gates. So if it makes me sick, then it's probably, it might not make other people sick, but I will represent the lowest amount. So I try not to make me sick, and in doing so, no one else will get sick. But that was one of the biggest challenges with this video, and that's what we wanted to play with, was in a traditional film, if you want to show something moving quickly, you can do quite a few different things with the composition and with the camera. And you lose that when you're in VR. One of which is, for instance, if you're filming a car and you want it to appear moving fast, that car can be moving 20 to 30 miles an hour and it feels like they're in a high speed chase. If you just move the camera really low to the ground and show that parallax, you lose that with VR because you can't really have cutting, like you mentioned, because the cutting will be jarring. You won't be able to direct the eye well. And you also will get motion sickness on the viewer's end. So to play with that, we had to do a lot of different iterations through the visual effects. Things like having animation S curves, acceleration, for instance, make people nauseous. So we had to make sure it was either the car was moving or the car was not. And then the whole point of being planted on the hood of the vehicle and having a CG vehicle allowed us to directly link the camera, otherwise known as the viewer's eye, directly to the car so that wherever the car moved, the camera moved. So you're a fixed position right on the hood of the car. So if you look at the vehicle, that vehicle represents a frame for you to continue to look at that doesn't move or gyrate, which helps with motion sickness because you have that base. You have that base to look at and you know, okay, this is my base. This is where I know that I'm not moving and I can look at this as a reference.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it really works. And it's so cool that you guys figured that out. So I guess one more question on Video Game Vehicle, and then we'll have to wrap up. So talk for one moment about the writing part of it. So the technical side, we've talked a little bit about the stereoscopic, the cameras, the game engines. I think we've dove enough into that. But for writing, how do you go about that whole process? Because writing a script, doing storyboarding, I mean, it seems kind of weird for VR, and I'm sure a lot of people don't know how that works.
Yeah, this is actually a very big question as well with VR in general, because a lot of people question, you know, how am I supposed to showcase my ideas to other people? And luckily for us, especially just because this was largely a retro-scripted piece of content, an outline as well as pre-visualizations for the visual effects were sufficient in getting the ideas across. But in terms of storyboarding in general with the VR pieces, we found that you can storyboard just the view of what you want to direct. Because at the end of the day, you're looking through these goggles, or you're supposed to be looking through these goggles, and you're looking through a magic window, per se. So you're looking through a magic window, and that's what you're looking at in the 360 VR view. And that magic window then is your, you know, field of view to play with the directive. So you can storyboard out those magic windows. And that's how we found, that's what we found to be very beneficial with our writing process, or our storyboarding process rather. And then with writing, it's more so me and Eric batting off ideas, and with Video Game Vehicle in particular, creating the outline, then doing all of the visual effects first to be able to allow us to react to the car's movements and film our plates to go inside the vehicle. Because this video was basically like, it was like 99% CGI. And then the two actors in the car seats on green screen were the only real element to the video. We were then able to kind of linger and take moments further or kind of take away a little bit from the moments if we needed more expression. So it was more so just a retro script on top of the visual effects elements.
Wow. That's definitely a unique way of going about it. But I mean, it's so great to hear that, because I'm sure that that's a big question, as you mentioned, for a lot of people. And knowing that, you know, there is a way to go about it. And, you know, there's a different way to go about it sometimes. And it does work out. And that's something to keep in mind for people who want to start experimenting in this area with storytelling. So, oh my gosh, I want to talk so much more, but we've run out of time. You guys are so great. Sam, I know Eric wasn't here, but Eric and Sam run So Crispy Media. And you got to check out all of their YouTube videos, their website. I mean, they're really amazing people and work with some amazing people. And I know we're going to link to this video so people will be able to see Video Game Vehicle. I highly recommend watching it. It's the bomb. And I don't know, so you can watch it like just through YouTube, and then to watch it on a headset, do they just go through to YouTube through that?
Yeah, so we always highly recommend watching on a headset, because that's how we created the video to be watched. Yeah, we created it in the headset. So there's the headset is the best way to watch through the YouTube app. If you have, for instance, an Oculus Go or a Google Daydream, for instance, you can watch it through the YouTube app. Or just in the web browser on the Oculus Go, and you can pull it up. You can pull it up in stereo, and you can see it with the depth and the spatial audio and everything. And then on top of that, if you don't have access to one of those VR viewers, you can also watch it with a pretty good experience through what's called Magic Window, which is basically just through the YouTube app on any mobile device. And you can twirl around in the 360 and get to view the experience, and then. In case you can't watch it on a phone, you can also just scrub around on the desktop viewer, which is not the most ideal way to watch, but it is a way to watch.
Right, right. At least to kind of check it out. Wow, the Magic Window. I definitely somehow did not know that's what that was called. I learned something new.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah. So definitely check it out.
Things today. okay, great. And so we'll link everyone to that. And then how can they follow you guys, Sam? What are some of the best ways?
Yeah, I mean, mainly the best way is through YouTube. We like to keep it kind of centralized on our YouTube page. We keep people up to date with the community tab on there. YouTube's rolling out some really great new features like the story features and whatnot. But on top of that, we also have Instagram. You can check us out. It's at So Crispy Media. And you can also check out my personal Instagram as well. I post a lot of visual effects and just work in progress as well throughout my life. It's at Sam Wickert. So all of those are doable for following us.
Excellent. Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining us. This has been such a pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me. It's been a blast.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see what you guys do next, whether it's 2D, VR, or God knows what. But I'm really excited to follow you guys, and I don't know how old you guys are and if you can still submit stuff to Nifty, but I hope to see you guys maybe at Nifty one way or the other, either with a submission or just checking it out. So we hope to see you there, and we'll talk soon. Thanks so much, Sam.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. For more information on Nifty 2018 presented by Oculus, the talented youth, and more emerging filmmakers, check out nifty.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter at NFFTY or on Instagram at niftyfilm. For more podcasts from Partyfish Media, follow us on social media at Partyfish Media.